time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And since it is the second of September today, I thought I'd just do a quick rundown of some of the really smashing events that are going to take place in September. September is, of course, the beginning of fall, and there are a number of events that, you know, we probably are not anxious to see, but in some ways, you know, they bring us some joy, some color. There'll be a lot of interesting things happening. I noticed just yesterday that the hazels, the beaked and American hazel, both are starting to show their first hints of color. And of course, the milkweed and the spreading dogbane and the bush honeysuckle and a number of those shrubs are also showing some color. So color is going to be the feature of the month. By the middle of the month, around the 15th, 16th, somewhere in there, hazel will be probably nearing its peak of color. Tamarack will begin to show a hint of color at the end of the month. The balsam poplars and the basswoods will both come to color during this month. And by the end of the month, both of those plants will be free of leaves for the winter. Big tooth aspen and trembling aspen will both begin to color, but not until after probably the 20th of the month. It'll be late in the month before the aspens, disregarding the balsam poplar, but before the big tooth and the trembling aspens really start to change their color. Black ash, which I have seen in some small locations beginning to turn color, will be bare by the end of the month. Black ash is like the last tree in the spring to throw out leaves, and it's the first tree in the fall to drop its leaves. So by the end of September, your black ash are going to be bare of leaves. The black-eyed Susans, which are proliferating along the roads right now, they will be almost done flowering by the middle of the month. And by the end of the month, 1st of October, there might be one or two odd ones here and there, but basically the black-eyed Susans will finish their coloring or finish their flowering this month and be done. This is the month when you should start watching for asparagus. Asparagus is going to turn bright orange yellow and become quite noticeable, and it will hold that color well into October, which makes them easy to locate. And now beginning in September and running into October, it's a good time to go out and flag them. Or if you are one of those people who are adept at those tracking devices on your phone, you could go out and actually geolocate the asparagus in your neighborhood. And next spring you could visit very carefully and harvest some of those new shoots. And remember, that doesn't hurt the asparagus as long as you back off and give them a chance to recover. So two or three visits, you know, taking a few spears each time, and then leave them be and let them grow. And they'll come back and produce, and again next year you'll have asparagus. Right at the end of September, juncos will be back. Those little gray birds that white bellies, gray backs, beautiful little birds. Two outside white tail feathers, so they're kind of easy to identify that way. They will come back to northern Minnesota. Now, some of you may have had juncos all winter or all summer. We live right on the cusp of their range. And so there can be places around here where people will have juncos through the year. But for the most part, at my house anyway, the juncos will be back at the end of the month of September. And about that same time, the last of the bluebirds will be moving out of the area. I'll be seeing lots of bluebirds sitting on the power lines. And then toward the end of the month of September, they will sort of disappear. Typically, we have our first frost in September, and it used to be that date was around the 16th of the month, but In the past several years, it has run as late as October 7th or 8th at my house. And so I can't say with any certainty that we will have a frost in September, but the historical record indicates that that certainly is more likely than not. Tree frogs will start singing again, and they're going to put up a few songs in the fall, whether it's the day length or, I don't know, maybe just a chance for a pleasant dream for the winter. They're going to be singing a little bit here in the fall. And, pardon me, the ruffed grouse, and this note comes from actually yesterday. There was a male in my yard displaying. I have a couple of little spots in my yard where the dirt is unencumbered by vegetation. And these little dusting spots, the grouse like to go in there and dust. And they shake up the dust and they kick it around and they throw it up over their backs. And they get pretty dusty and dirty, but it helps them in relieving them of some of the parasites that afflict them. So they do these dust baths. Well, yesterday there was a male strutting his stuff, tail fanned, ruff erected. He was just really looking good. And there were a couple of females that were kind of hanging around. Now, this is the time of year when the covey, when mama's now raised all 10 of us and we've all been together all summer, just leading mom around through the woods. And this time of year, they start to break up. And the females will stay pretty close to mom's original territory, but the males will wander off in search of their own territories. And you may hear some drumming this time of year. That usually is the result of an encroachment. So I'm a male. I've got this territory that I've been defending for 5 or 6 years now. I've got a drumming log, and in comes one of these young first-year males, kicked out of his covey and on his way to discovering what the world is all about. And he comes into my territory, and right away he wants to make a claim. He finds this great drumming log and he starts to drum, and pretty soon I'm drumming back at him, and the whole argument is settled usually amicably just over the drumming that they will do. So there will be a little bit of drumming yet this month in September, so keep your ears open for that. Poison ivy is right on the cusp of beginning to turn color, and poison ivy starts off green, of course, and then becomes sort of yellow and then sort of coral and then gets even progressively more red before it dies back. And so keep an eye out if you know where the poison ivy is in your neighborhood. Keep an eye on it. It's going to get quite colorful. Pine needles are going to turn color this month, typically the first week or two, right around the 10th to the 15th. Pine needles will begin to change color. The white pines are going to get kind of yellow, and the jack pines and the Norway pines will get more reddish. But all of those needles, all of those 3- and 4-year-old needles will be coming off of the trees before they go into the winter. And finally, on our September list of things to watch for, the last of the hummingbirds will be leaving this month. The average is the 16th of September. But in 2017, I saw my last hummingbird on the 8th of October. And in 2008, the last hummingbird, and this was reported to me, I did not see this one myself, but reported to me, the last hummingbird was the 18th of October. So there are some who are just a little slow on picking up the message that it's time to go south. I suspect that if your place is like mine, you probably do not have any male hummingbirds left in your yard. Mine were gone on the 20th of August, the male ruby-throated hummingbirds, and the females now are, like, I haven't noticed any slacking off in the amount of juice that they're drinking. But I've got lots of juveniles and lots of females that are coming to the feeders and stocking up. fattening up before they head south. That sort of brings you through September in a broad sense. A couple of notes that I'd like to cover just on the get-go here. Box elder are beginning to fleck. There's lots of color, lots of yellows in the box elders right now. The bur oaks, these white oak trees, they're bur oaks this far north, are having a mast year. I have every white oak, regardless of size. I've got some white oaks that aren't 8 inches in diameter, and they are just covered in acorns. It's going to be a good year for all of the critters that like the acorns of the bur oak. And everybody likes the white oak acorns. Not everybody likes the red oak acorns. The red oak acorns are also in great supply this year, but they're not as tasty. They don't taste as good. They're more bitter because they have more tannins. And they're not as nutritious. So the white oaks are the ones that everybody, the bur oaks, are the acorns that everybody's going to be looking for up here. I once saw a bear up in a white oak chewing off a branch that was probably as thick as my forearm. And once it succeeded in gnawing the branch off the tree, it climbed down and ate all the acorns that were hanging on that branch. So white oak acorns are plentiful this year, and everybody will be eating really good. The hazelnuts just starting to show some color. Oh, a couple of notes that I know this will make everybody happy. The deer flies still are plentiful. I killed two yesterday among the group that were afflicting me, and I killed a number of mosquitoes as well. The deer flies and the mosquitoes will sort of be disappearing by the middle of the month. I don't have any, my last mosquito averages on the 21st of September. The latest I ever had a note for the last mosquito. Now, maybe they were just not noisome enough to be noticed, but the September 28th in 2016 is the latest I ever had occasion to make note of a mosquito. Hopefully they and the deer flies will be gone before too much longer. Monarch butterfly, I saw one yesterday. There are a number of asters and goldenrods blooming right now. Sawtooth sunflower, Jerusalem artichoke. Among the fruits out there that are still on the trees, nannyberry. In one spot in my yard, the nannyberries are all eaten, and they were green as a green apple. And there is another spot in my yard where I have another nannyberry, and that one, they haven't eaten the fruits yet. Maybe they haven't found them. But there are definitely some fruits left on that one, and they're just starting to take a blush. And speaking of taking a blush, rose hips are starting to get quite pronounced red right now. Winterberry, northern holly, those berries are more orange than green, but still not what I would call ripe. Black chokeberry, which is a close, it's a lot like chokecherry in that the fruit is the same, kind of hard to eat because it's astringent, but they are still there, and the birds are eating them just kind of as they go. Check out the mountain maple. These are shrubs. They're maples, but they are shrubs, and they have gorgeous red to coral seeds on them right now. Just a really wonderful time to check them out. You may recall a week ago I mentioned that the robins were kind of here and there, that they had gathered into flocks, and instead of seeing a robin every day in your yard, you might not see any for a week or 10 days, and you might think they're gone. But really, they're just in these large flocks, and they're moving around, searching out areas to feed. And last night, while I was just kind of relaxing, watching the Lynx play basketball, there were a half a dozen robins in my front yard. And you know, if they're still there today, I'll be surprised. They are on the move, and they're going to be here and then there. My good friend Paul Hansen called me or sent me a text on Friday, said common nighthawks were migrating through, and Mark Gwilliam also mentioned the same thing to me, that he had seen flocks of nighthawks in the area. So the nighthawks are definitely getting up and moving out. My friend Ann Gapinski sent me a picture of a crane fly and wondered what it was. And I haven't talked about crane flies all summer, and it's probably a little bit late for the crane fly defense fund. But the crane flies, when you see them, you're going to think, my God, that mosquito is on steroids. They look like giant mosquitoes. They can be an inch or an inch and a half, maybe almost 2 inches from the tip of one leg to another. And they are harmless. They are nectar drinkers. They don't have mouth parts that bite. They are not looking for your blood. When you see them, don't kill them. They mean you no harm, and they will perform valuable service for the plants that they're visiting by moving pollen around. So check out the crane flies and enjoy them. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, I encourage you to get in touch with us if you have observations you'd like to share. We're always anxious to hear what's going on in your neighborhood.